My dear brothers and sisters, I'm as pleased as punch to be able to stand and speak to you today. I'm getting up there in years. This may be my final general conference talk, so I want to make it a memorable one. And I pray that I will have the stamina to deliver to you all today the important message that I've come here to deliver. Brothers and sisters, it's time.
This is Infants on Thrones. Philosophies of men mingled with humor. We are the Quorum.
For a second, I thought I saw Jake with like an earring, but it was just, you know, ear pods or whatever. Or earbuds, and I was thinking, like, wow, that's a statement, but and that wasn't reality.
That's a passive aggressive way of saying, hey, why don't you go get your ears pierced, Jake? You'd look so much better.
What looks like with pierced ears.
Yeah.
Oh man. I mean, I either need to start with a tattoo or earrings. I don't know, man.
Yeah, that's a big jump.
Mutilate your body a little bit. Just a little
that's
bit.
True.
And I'm already circumcised, so I don't know what other options I have.
Yeah, that's where you draw the line.
Yeah. Glad we got that information out of you. That's what I was going for. Yeah.
You don't want to do a double circumcision as a no.
I tried to get my belly button pierced. I went to two different people and asked them to pierce my belly button, and they wouldn't do it because I have the wrong shape belly button.
Is that what they said?
What?
They rejected you? Oh.
I was rejected. You need to have like more skin on the top.
That's information I didn't know. Elite.
There's got to be a body shaming thing in there. You could,
yeah, right.
I'm sure.
I mean, what's funny is I went for a second opinion, and the second person told me the same thing.
Oh,
it might be true.
I didn't know you could be ineligible from the belly button ring. I didn't think it was like an exclusive club.
Yeah, right.
Apparently, yeah.
I failed the belly button piercing test.
Now I just want to go, and not because I want one, but just to be like, can you just tell me if I could have one?
Oh, yeah, yeah, right.
I can't. Is there too much skin on the top? I've heard that somewhere.
You guys, you know they'll think you're talking about a Prince Albert.
Well, that's a gateway drug. Yeah.
No, I think that's the gateway.
You don't start at the belly button. Keep piercing until I say stop.
All right, Thomas Monson.
Right?
Segway.
I was going to think of like the two-earring segue, but that's Hinckley, not Monson.
Yeah, it's true. That was a whole other prophet ago.
But he right. was in the first presidency, so I'm sure that they had a meeting about that.
Oh, wait, I have it. I know. So here's my segue. It's not very good now, but...
The great thing about segues is that they naturally lead conversations from one place to another.
And here Bob goes.
Total halt.
3, 2, 1.
Oh, jeez.
So the thing with Hinckley is that there was a segue to be made because there was this earring thing and he had some controversy. The thing with Monson is the dude never opened his mouth. Like, you can't, there's no story. There's no Monson stories. Like, remember that one time over the pulpit when Monson said that thing that's kind of weird? No, it doesn't exist.
Oh, it does.
It's widow stories. It's widow stories and wiggled ears. That's it.
I thought he said a lot of stuff about scouts.
Scouts?
Yeah, Cub Scouts. That's what I saw on the news.
Uh-huh. And what about it? Like, that isn't already just like it passively written in any manual.
So, you know, what I'm saying is you were shortchanging his resume, the ear wiggling thing.
What I'm saying is he's got no revelation. Even mental gymnastics can't save this guy. Like, what has happened out of Monson's mouth as a prophet? Please do tell.
He's a silver buffalo in scouts. that's not nothing.
Nailed it. Yeah, that's a revelation for sure. I don't know. I just think.
Yeah, but pierced ears was revelation.
It was something. No, Hinckley had so much. I mean, granted, I was a Hinckley fan because he was my prophet growing up, right? So, like, Hinckley had inventing. Yeah, not my hashtag.
Not my prophet.
But, like, Hinckley had, like, he invented mini temples. he designed the Hong Kong temple on the back of a napkin.
Those aren't revelations. Keep going. Those aren't revelations.
By Mormon standards, you can mental gymnastics those into revelations so much easier than anything Monson's got.
Nah,
many temples.
Inventing many temples.
Smaller, empty houses.
Yeah, right.
Let's organize.
You guys are going the other direction. Instead of being like, no, Monson did stuff, you're like, no, Hinckley did jack shit, too.
Well, they're both easy.
Yeah, but I always loved when people talked about how the miraculous story of, like, what if it was this, but slightly smaller? Like, it's amazing. Like, oh, my God. Oh, we can build more of them. How could you know that?
But I've got another thing, though. But, like, Hinckley, he went on, like, a news channel. He talked to Larry King. Like, Monson would never do that. Like, that's Hinckley true. Stepped up to the plate and was like, hey, you know what? I'm the leader of a religion, so I'll act like one. Monson just, like, character telling stories. That's it.
Maybe it wasn't that Monson wouldn't do that. Maybe it was Monson couldn't do that because of the dementia. Huh?
That's only for the last, like, however many years.
However many years. How many years is it, Bob? Is it 5? Is it 10?
He was prophet for 10, and out of those 10, I'm sure he had a few good years where he could have done
a few good years. Like, two.
Everybody knows 80 to 90 is the best. That's
the sweet spot.
It's when you're just right at your peak.
Yeah.
This is the best, like, Oscar in memory, you know, segment ever, where we're just, like, just... I don't know. Maybe we should have started with something way nicer about him before bagging on him. I got nothing.
I mean, he seemed like a nice guy. Like, there's a lot of...
Sure.
Yeah. I mean...
But couldn't, like, you say that about anybody, Jake, that you haven't met? He seemed like a nice person from a distance.
Right. Well, I mean, maybe that's the idea is to, like, maybe they needed to fly below the radar. Maybe it was shrewd.
Maybe this revelation. Maybe the Lord knew that we needed a bland, vanilla prophet,
right,
who would stay off TV for these controversial years.
Man,
I'm just saying, there's a lot worse things. Like a president, I'd rather have a President Monson over a President Packer. Like, you know.
Short bar to clear there.
A President Packer would have been so much better.
Oh,
that's,
yeah,
like, President, that's like nightly news shows wanting a Donald Trump presidency.
Just, well, that's different because that actually matters. But this is just Mormons. It's fine. They'll, right, you know.
Yeah. I'm sure that we'd be rock stars by now. Millionaires.
That's right. That was what was missing, is Packer being prophet.
The Packer prophet presidency made our podcast. Mm-hmm. Oh, that would be amazing.
All right, but wait, back up. So let me try one other thing. So if we're serious, like, somebody dying and then me doing what I did at the beginning of the podcast.
Comparing him to his predecessor.
And saying he's kind of, like, didn't do crap and, like, already just, like, people are, like, writing up these long articles. I mean, of course, like, you know, here's his life and legacy. And I guess I feel like that's already out there. I guess, is there something to be said for being disrespectful or needing to be respectful? Like, what's the statute of limitations before we can bag on him?
I mean, it's got to be at least 24 hours. So I think we're, like, no matter how short.
Or at least till he gets in the ground.
But look at the four of us. By the time this thing gets edited and pushed out, it'll be plenty of time.
Well, yeah.
If anybody asks, we waited a super long time.
Yeah. Out of respect.
Out of respect. That's it. Yeah.
Respect.
So I mean, that's it. We're done. What else do you guys want to say about?
Well, go ahead, Jake.
Yeah. Well, I wanted to talk about, like, you know, how many prophets have you lived through? Like, what was it like last? Because I remember when Hinckley died, and then you know the whole process of, like, of anointing a new prophet, and that was, like, a very spiritual experience for me. I don't know if anybody else felt that way. It's a very interesting, like. Even though from the outside it's like, you know, elderly nice man dies, other elderly man takes over responsibilities. You know, it's not right. Like it seems silly now, but, like, the process of succession.
Right.
It's an interesting phenomenon.
How did you explain that on your mission? People would ask me, like, how do they choose the next prophet? And I would say, well, you know, they all of them go into a room and they pray about it in the temple, and they all come back when unanimously they know exactly.
Is that what you said?
Yes. Oh, because okay. That is officially what happens. Mm-hmm. Of course, what can only happen because the church is a corporation's soul, wherein all of the assets of the church are owned by the corporation of the president of the church, by one person on the earth, is that the entire property of the church, every postage stamp and building and piece of land, transfers to Nelson at Monson's death. So it really would be surprising if they didn't come up with a unanimous decision.
So, are you making this up, or is that actually documented somewhere? Like, you know, no, use this cover story, even though what really happens, we all know.
No, that's all true.
I can see.
Still go into the room and pray.
Yes.
Yeah, they probably do.
That's because what happens in the New Testament. The one time that they choose a new apostle, when Judas Iscariot kills himself, is they together and pick somebody. So that's what they have to do.
Yeah, so they probably do go as a formality into the room, and then they say, okay, who was the senior apostle again? Oh, Nelson. Okay, all right. And then they all sign documents, like, okay, so let's get all the formalities out of the way.
What's actually interesting to me is, like, are they, like, you know, they've got to be sucking up a little bit, like, hoping their first presidency. But it's right. Like, they got to do this very subtly. They've got to make it feel spiritual. What they have to do is induce a special feeling.
Uh-huh. Yeah, yeah. So, well, a lot of times, I feel like the status quo is to, like, leave one counselor the same, but then pick a new one. So you've got, like, but I'm sort of making that up a little bit. But there is this, like, excitement for who's going to be the new first and second counselor, because they get new nicknames. I mean, the Silver Fox would not have become
Silver Fox. Oh, they don't get new nicknames. What is Iring's nickname? Crying Iring?
Cry-ring.
Yeah.
Those are our nicknames for him, not...
You know what I mean? Like, when you become one of the two counselors, you get to be on the portrait in everybody's living room, because that has to change up, and if you know, thousands and thousands of households.
Right.
I mean, it's definitely a step up.
You're in the Holy Trinity of prophets. Yeah.
If you're aiming for first presidency, you have to really try to, you have to ingratiate yourself to someone and try to make it seem like you're the anointed. But if you want to be prophet, you just have to aim to outlive everybody.
Right.
Eat right and exercise and try to stay alive.
Or hide your dementia. Right.
It's funny how they have like two mechanisms. It's like, well, you can rise in your stature physically or in the manipulative way, like the rest of corporate America. Either way is fine. You know, you'll get there. Option A or option B. First presidency or prophet. It's nice. So who do we want to speculate? Who do you guys think is going to be in the first presidency?
That's a good question. Are they going to send Uchtdorf down?
No, they'll keep him.
I think they need him.
Yeah, but who are they going to knock down? Iring?
Yeah.
No, I think they're going to keep it the same this time. I'm going for a plain vanilla answer. That's my final answer.
No. We got to take bets on this, because Bednar is going straight to the...
No.
100%, yes.
Bednar?
He is
first
a
counselor
and a climber. He's got moves you haven't seen.
He's spread.
Yeah. Not Oaks, because Oaks becomes the de facto head of the Quorum of the Twelve, which also has some prestige, even though you don't get to be on a frame in somebody's house. But it's still pretty good.
Yeah.
You get it by default, so.
Bednar, huh? As first counselor, is that what your prediction, Heather?
All right, first or second counselor? I'm going to go with Bednar, second counselor.
Who's your first then? The Silver Fox stays?
I say he keeps the Silver Fox, so that going with Bednar seems like a balance in the force.
Mm-hmm. Right. Okay, I like that. I'm still sticking with, well, now I'm a little sheepish. Your answer's really good.
I like that,
but is Bednar the right fit for what they're doing, what they're going for? I can't
more
think
assholery?
Of who would be better.
Kind of.
Well, he's bold and arrogant, and yeah, I think he's a good foil to the Uchtdorf.
I don't know. I mean, what if this is kind of out of left field, but I feel like Christensen has this special like kind of immune. He's like, I got the gay, the guy with the gay brother. Like, I feel like there's a certain like an immunity. You
is that Christensen? That.
Yeah.
Okay. I forgot the name. Sorry.
You don't know the last half of them now, do you?
Because I know there's a Christofferson and a Christensen and a Cook.
Oh, no, no, no. It's Christofferson.
Christofferson.
It's the white guy.
It could there could be a Christensen in there. I don't know.
There, there probably, I think there is, actually. I'm sorry.
Christofferson.
But you know, I, now that I'm saying that, I'm kind of talking myself out of it because I feel like Christofferson, I feel like Uchtdorf and Christofferson cover the same kind of, right. Right.
Yeah, you only need one of them.
Okay, but what about the rumors that Nelson was behind, like he was the number one guy behind the November policy of 2015? You guys heard that rumor, right? That he kind of spearheaded it?
And yeah, is he also the one who came out and called it revelation?
He is. He definitely is.
So I think if it's your policy, you're pretty, if you're calling it revelations, pretty good bet that it was your, so you had a personal but investment in it.
Yeah.
Aren't you guys kind of excited then? Because,
you know, there's excited.
The tug and, no, but that, hear me out. There's a tug and pull between the like, oh, if all we have are benign leaders and the church just sort of floats as this happy place where we can all be like, yeah, it's community, yay, versus like, it needs to burn itself down. We need an asshole who's going to do really stupid shit, and then it's going to like schism faster and die faster. I mean, it's kind of exciting, more so to me anyway, to think of like an asshole prophet who isn't going to be behind the scenes and like not doing anything or moving the needle or having any revelation versus the one who is going to double down on like more policies against gays.
So you're rooting for a Jude Law young pope style.
Something like, I mean, I'm being, of course, a little something, but there's a part of me that's rooting for that. I can't lie. I just see that there's pros and cons to both approaches, and it's not like cut and dry. This would be objectively better for the church or for people or for the Mormons versus that. I think they both have goods and bads, that's all I'm saying.
How much influence do you think that the prophet really has? Like, how much?
That's
how
a
much,
very good question.
Yeah, because I mean, it was. And here's a kind of follow up question: is would you describe so the fact that like so many like that the whole November policy even happened seems like a big misstep, and is that a failure of leadership on Monson's part?
Well,
and
yeah, go ahead.
Could there be a strong leader that changes things? That's my question.
Your mic is kind of going in and out, by the way, Jake.
Oh, sorry,
but. Yeah, I don't know how. I mean, what was it that I was reading this morning? It was that Monson, because he's essentially the CEO of the Mormon Church, that he gets, you know, he takes the, either the credit or the downfall for the November policy and all the other things that Bob shortchanged him with. You know, like what was the other thing that he did? The lowering of the missionary age, right?
Oh, no, but I want to clarify. I think he doesn't get as much credit as we want to throw him either directions. So we shouldn't be like, oh, Monson, I can't believe you.
Right. It's a balance, right?
Credit for the positive stuff. It's not like, because there's a lot of stuff written that's like, hey, because of Monson, there's a renewed focus on humanitarian aid. And I want to call bullshit on that. Like, well, since there's no transparency or record keeping or any effective way to measure it, the church did not, unless they want to say otherwise, they did not give more to humanitarian aid because of Monson. There's no record of that.
I saw multiple articles saying that, like, giving him credit for the church's recent push toward transparency because they had to write those topic essays.
Yeah.
The internet gets credit for that. But sorry, Tom, I cut you off.
No, I was just going to say your little rant there, like all the other ones would be # not my prophet. I mean, man, you are really off this guy. Monson sucks. Hinckley's great.
I'm actually surprised that you have such strong feelings. I thought I had strong feelings about Monson.
He's like, he's an empty suit. He doesn't exist. It's a myth. There never was a Monson.
All that good stuff that happens, not his. He doesn't get credit for that.
Because he followed the same career trajectory as me. He went for the MBA, and it's like, ugh, not another MBA who's useless and is just at the top.
That's it.
All right, now you're just dropping your MBA in for no reason.
Yeah.
Hey, I didn't mention
humble brag.
Harvard over there.
Sorry. What? Who went to Harvard? No.
Say it.
Oh God!
All right, so if we're gonna give, gonna give him a lot of the credit, I guess we could actually say what we should give him credit for. The lowering the missionary age, does he get props for that? Is that a good or bad thing? I guess
my whole point is he gets credit for being a missed opportunity, for the apathy, for doing nothing. I think everyone below him took advantage of his. Even in the beginning when because Monson was credited early on, even in his early 80s or whatever, with a super, super good memory. It wasn't until the last 5 years that of course, narrative had to fall away because it just couldn't be preserved anymore. But
we don't know. They never once officially said that he had dementia or Alzheimer's or anything. So we don't know.
That's true.
In fact, they didn't even say. What did they say the official death was? That it was related to old age. They didn't even say, like, it was a heart attack? Was it that he fell down the stairs? They don't even say that. They don't say anything.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, they just probably let him go because...
What, like, unplugged him? Probably is on life support or something?
Yeah, I mean, who knows? You don't usually go into the details of old age death because it's kind of sad.
Yeah.
It's just organ failure, basically.
So. Usually, yeah.
But I mean, I guess to your point, Bob, is that he didn't leave a strong impression. It's just like for being the prophet as long as he was, I just don't feel like there's a specific influence that he could point to that he had.
Widows and ears.
He didn't really have a catchphrase, which is unfortunate in the television age. And he was following a prophet who had a clear sort of agenda to normalize the church and make it more mainstream. Right. And however much credit you want to give him for doing that, he had a clear agenda.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
It's not clear what Monson's agenda was.
Well, I think early on his big, big push was the Boy Scouts program. And if you look back at the last year or two, because now the church is officially separated from him, right?
Right. That's why it's hilarious that you're like, oh, the thing that he's remembered for is that.
Well, no. What I'm saying is that I think that's what he was really, really pushing for, you know, and scouts. And then the later part of his presidency, it all kind of just blew up. It just kind of backfired. I mean, and the LGBT stance, I mean, and all that stuff, it just seemed like, you know. I don't know. Some of the air got let out of his balloon a little bit at the end there with the scouts.
That's got to be depressing.
Yeah. That is really sad.
Yeah.
I mean, it would have been like Obamacare getting repealed in the right before Obama left office.
Yeah, exactly. It's true.
Yeah. I mean, to me, it's like he's the CEO that came after Steve Jobs that nobody remembers the name of. And then Steve Jobs came back and saved the company. But, you know, like Gordon Mahinkley isn't going to come back unless the second company happens. And, you know, he could be.
Yeah, I don't think Gordon B. Hinckley would be.
Hey, there's an opening. I'm sure Mormonism, there's some doctrinal basis.
I'm just saying, like, if second coming comes, I don't think we're gonna, let's resurrect everybody and just bring back the last guy. That ain't even good. We could choose from, like, Moses or Enoch or Jesus.
Or Jesus.
But Gordon was so good on TV.
He was good. He was good.
Yeah.
He was a little charmer. Wonderful.
The most thing I'm going to be sad at is Glenn's impressions of Monson. I feel like it's a bummer. Yeah. I mean, I think he really had it nailed down.
You get like 1 year of Back from the Dead sort of jokes where you get to keep doing the voice, but then the second year it's like, okay, well, you know, let him be.
Do you think that Glenn is killing the apostles with his...
with his impressions?
And now Thomas Monson. Who will he imitate next?
It's got to be Nelson, right?
Nelson impression.
Oh, dear.
Nelson, 93. Wow.
You couldn't help even in your email, Bob, already start throwing dirt on this guy. Like, how long's this guy got? 93. Is he even going to make it to the podium before he dies?
Everybody's wondering. Everybody's asking these questions.
Yeah, but you're the only one saying them on a podcast, right?
How awesome is that? Like, your entire career, like, you've been aiming for this your entire career. It's been your lifelong goal, and here you are. 93, I made it. I made it. Another scoop of Metamucil in my cup. Let's celebrate.
Oh boy.
I don't know. Is he going to pull a Howard W. Hunter, or is he going to go to, you know, is he going to do a Monson or Hinckley? Hard to say.
How long was Hunter?
Like a year and a half, wasn't he? Or?
Oh, I thought you meant how. Okay. Is Nelson going to be the oldest?
He was
younger, though.
He was only in his late 80s, I think.
Okay, yeah. Okay.
That's the thing about the seniority thing, is it's just really like. You know, pick a young guy.
Like Bednar?
But by the time he gets, it sounds exhausting. Oh. I mean, imagine being 93 and now you're the prophet. God.
My turn at last.
Yeah, it just sounds exhausting.
It does?
Yeah,
he was, wow, he was only prophet for like 9 months, actually.
Hunter was?
Yeah.
A full pregnancy.
Basically,
he accomplished a lot in 9 months,
and he died at 87, so much younger than these guys. I want to say President Monson was a great counselor for all those years growing up.
You're forcing it out. Yeah, no, I mean the bias coming out of you, Bob's like, I guess he was nice. He was okay. Like you're taking a shit or something. Like, oh, all right. Yeah.
Now I can't say anything good at all. I wanted to say.
Force it out.
I mean, he wasn't bad as a storyteller. Not the greatest, but he had the soothing voice.
Yeah.
He bored me a lot less than others.
Backhanded compliment. He bored me less than others.
Faint praise.
Yeah, right.
No, but do you remember, like in the 90s? Well, this is maybe just my personal memory, but there was like an extended period where it was Hinckley, Monson, and Faust, right? And that felt like a long time.
Yeah.
For me, it was like maybe my most formative years, and that was like really foundational. And Monson was a huge influence on me in that Mormon-y way because he had good stories. He talked about, he was always a good speaker during the priesthood session. He'd always say it in such a gentle way, how to just be a good boy, a good man. I don't know. He did well, like in that early part of my life, but then once he became a prophet, it was like, it was too little too late. I guess I was already out. So.
I think that's probably it. You were already out.
Yeah, that's why I was wondering about Jake's impression, because Jake, was Monson your prophet? I mean, I guess he was Heather's prophet for longer than yours, but you were younger.
Hinckley was my prophet. Was my prophet, I feel like.
Yeah, I mean, Hinckley died when I was on my mission, so I feel like Hinckley is the formative prophet for me.
Oh, okay.
And it was really emotional when Hinckley left. I feel like he was... There was a cult of personality around Hinckley in the church that there never was the equal of for President Monson.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's quite the big shadow to live under. Maybe that's all my point is, more than anything.
It's an act to follow. But the thing is, that it's just surprising to me that he was... So how long... He was called as an apostle at 36.
Yeah.
Crazy.
Yeah, and
so you're done with your lives, men.
And he was called as a bishop as young as 22, as it said. Yeah.
That was the story we'd tell each other. That was the story we'd tell each other as missionaries. Be like, you know what? Imagine being a bishop like a year after we get released from our mission. That was from President Monson. Like he was some sort of like super commander.
Yeah.
I'll admit something to you right now. I actually thought of that story because I was a branch president younger than Monson was to bishop. So
did you get an MBA before? Or
after? Actually, I was younger than he was when he got his MBA. There's a trick.
Oh my goodness.
I'm not an apostle yet, so I missed the boat.
Yes.
Yeah.
It ended.
Yeah. But you are an infant, so.
Yeah, right.
Close enough.
That's something.
This whole thing is just for me to let everyone know that I'm better than Monson. the beanie goes on. Nice, Jake.
Yeah. Wow. It's almost like you've got hair. Oh,
yes. And what wonderful natural hair it is. A uniform gray mat with ribbed edges.
I'm going to do a little topiary here. There we go.
Wow. I got nothing with my hair.
Neither does Tom.
Literally.
I don't even have a beanie. Well, I guess I get my hoodie. Check it out.
Hey, there we go.
There we go.
Oh, look at you.
I could call you to the dark side if I wanted, I guess.
That's true.
You're the Emperor, man. I'd totally be on your side, Tom.
Should we start talking about Star Wars now?
No, let's not do that.
I haven't seen it yet.
Oh, it's not as bad as Glenn thinks it is. It's fine. It's actually really good.
Yeah, that's all right.
What I realized is just that Star Wars was so much more compelling when I was religious. When I wasn't like rolling my eyes so much at hurt when someone tells you to reach out with your feelings and close your eyes to.
Oh, come on. The Force was real for them, though. Like, there's evidence they did have to reach out with their feelings. They could move fucking airplanes. If I went to church and I could move airplanes, I would be reaching out with my feelings.
The spirit is real, too. Like, if you had faith, you could move a mountain with the faith of a mustard seed. It's the exact same thing.
Well, quote, real.
Except they
real.
Actually moved the mountain. Yoda pulled it out of the freaking swamp.
Yeah, and Joshua, like, kept his son in the sky for an extra day.
Wow. So yeah, but this is an argument for like basically every Marvel movie sucking too. Like any reality is off the team in terms of movies for Heather.
I sense you're a fan of documentaries
or boats movies based on a true story. You know, those are my favorite.
You know, you might be right because I hate superhero movies.
Do you?
No, that's fine.
And I do love documentaries, so suck it.
So maybe you were right.
So pretentious, Heather. Documentaries, and I hate superhero movies.
I love art cinema. I like to go to the cinema.
Cinema is what I call it.
The art house. Yeah, the theater.
Nice. Yeah, that's probably enough Star Wars.
No, right.
but we literally ran out of Monson stuff. It's not just me, guys. I'm just saying that normally infants can talk 2 hours about anything in 30 minutes.
No, we can. But you guys sidestepped my question about the lowering the missionary age because I feel like that might be one of his bigger things.
Yeah,
probably.
I think that's a big deal. Do you know how much he was involved in that?
Well,
no, I don't know.
I think that is, though, one he actually took the opportunity to announce himself. So from that perspective, kudos to, you know, it's like something he wanted to own, whereas like the gay stuff, he's like, oh, I don't want to touch that with a 10-foot pole. But, you know.
Or did he, though? I mean, that's the thing is we don't really know, like, how much involvement he had in any of it.
Now, I feel like he was a total teddy bear conflict avoider.
Speculation.
Didn't want to deal with people subjects.
Yeah.
What?
We don't know. That's what I'm saying.
But the missionary one was a slam dunk. That was a great, like, everybody was going to be in love with that. That was like a mini temples right there. So, okay, give him one revelation.
the mini temple thing, yeah.
What this about make these guys, but slightly small?
take these guys, make them slightly younger.
What if women and men were the same age when they went out on missions?
That's a great idea. Let's call it Revelation and put it in conference.
They're not even the same age, though. They still kept a one-year difference.
Yes. Yeah.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
Instead of 19.
Otherwise, they'd be bunnies, you know, but they're not if they're a year apart because, you know.
Well, 18 and 19-year-olds are so different. You know, it's not. So what are they going to have? What are they going to have in common?
Men aren't interested in older women, you know, by a year.
I don't know about that. I don't know.
No, that's what I'm saying. It's kind of. I always heard that was the reasoning for it. And I'm like, really? You think that, you know, having women a year or two older is really going to change the biology of men?
I thought it did. I thought the elders looked at the sisters as like old hags.
Well, that was for a different reason, I hate to say.
Oh, no.
Oh, really?
go ahead. Let me get a shovel before you finish your statement here, though, Bob.
I don't have to finish it. Everybody knows what I'm talking about, and there's no need to say anymore.
No.
There's a self-selection bias. There's
only ugly chicks go on missions.
There it is. There it is. I was wanting Bob to say that so bad.
Left on the clearance rack. Yeah.
I'm not, to go on I'm not saying that. I'm saying, who do you think gets married first in a pool of people trying to outdo each other for getting married early before having a chance to go on a mission?
Every sister must go. We'll clear them out. Yeah.
Yeah, I don't think this quadruple X... Oh, whatever. Sorry, that's a science-related one. I was trying to think of the thing that's what's left on the rack after.
Wow.
And I realized that they're all bigger, and then it's...
Jake, you get a shovel.
Okay, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I'm sorry.
Oh, that went so wrong.
Yeah, really. Oof.
Oh, that's... Wow.
I just loved your analogy so much, I just wanted to be part of it.
So Jake was responsible for this whole tangent.
For fat shaming. Yeah. For fat shaming sister missionary.
Right. Yeah. But it didn't matter. There are plenty of missionaries attracted to other missionaries. It still happened.
Yes.
So but I think that we could point to that as like a mini temple level, like, ooh, this is a big shift. I remember the day when I found out that I was going on a mission earlier than I thought I was, kind of thing.
I thought you were going to say, like, never mind, I don't remember it. That pregnant pause.
I don't know. I don't know how people were going to, you know, put it. Because I, like, when they talk about small temples, everyone talks about, like, we would go through, when I was growing up, one of the small temples, I think it was the first one, was put in, like, Monticello, or whatever they call it in Utah.
Mm-hmm.
And like we would go through when we drive from Arizona, Utah, we'd take a detour to go through there so that my mom could do ascension at the small temple because it was like this exotic thing, you know?
Yeah. Mm.
And I think people are going to talk about the same type of thing. Be like, I never dreamed I would go on a mission at 18.
Yeah. What would be amazing is if they made a really small temple, like a hobbit temple.
3 foot, five inches entrance.
Yeah. I think there's one in every visitor center. It looks exactly like the one outside.
You know, the payoff wouldn't be good enough. You're not going to sit through however many hours if you don't get to sit in an awesome celestial room. I mean, even the mini temples had some serious money in those celestial rooms. So, I mean, if you're doing like the eco-friendly third world country build a house version, it's a little bit of a letdown to do your temple work and then it's like aluminum is what you're staring at in the celestial room. I'm just saying it.
Shiny aluminum though. Celestial aluminum.
Celestial. Yeah. Wasn't it you, Jake? Who was it who was like sitting in the celestial room and their dad leaned over to him? No, it must have been you, Jake. I'm sorry.
Whoa, that went wrong.
Why wouldn't it have been me?
I just remembered the tragic loss of your father. all right, so maybe it was your mother. It like leaned over and said, "This is what heaven is like," and you're like, "God, I hope not." Just sitting forever, quietly in the lobby of a nice hotel.
Right. They took the plastic off today.
Wow, that looks like they just vacuumed in here.
Why can't I only stay in heaven for 15 minutes before I'm ushered out?
So I do have a little mini complaint, a rant about all this. Okay. Something must have shifted in me this morning because as I'm turn on the news and they're broadcasting all the stuff with Monson, it was headlining all the local news here, and I was just groaning and rolling my eyes the whole time. And my wife came in. Actually, first thing I should start back by saying, so I'm still in bed. My wife got up a little bit earlier and she comes running in and starts waking me up. Like there's an emergency, like somebody was on the phone or something, like Tom, President Monson just died. President Monson died. And if domestic abuse was okay, I'm just saying. Like, you're going to wake me up for this? What? And so as I'm watching
ice
the news,
cold, dumb.
Yeah. But as I'm watching the news and I'm just groaning about this, I'm like, so why is he being deified? I mean, he is just an old guy that died, right? I mean, isn't that what it is? And then my wife said, well, okay, but they make a big hubbub when the Catholic Pope dies, right? I was like, yeah, but that's a worldwide church, and there's a lot of history there. I mean, this is just a guy who couldn't even stand at the pulpit for the last year or two. I mean, why are we making such a big fuss about it? I don't know, man. I mean, what frustrates me the most? Did I lose you guys?
Saying that the spirit had to shut us down.
It was Tom bagging on.
Cut us off.
Yeah. He was just a man. And then it was like over for us.
Yeah, no.
Blasphemy.
The living deification of the general authorities. What frustrates me is it seems like the church really, whether indirectly or intentionally, tries to emphasize that these guys are more than just men. That's what drives me crazy. Like, you guys could just say, you know, they pray and they go to meetings and they still have to eat food and shit like the rest of you. But not really. I mean, because now they're going to make this big hullabaloo about a guy, an old guy who died. And that's what drives me crazy. Like, if any member of the church wants to tell me that no, the prophets are fallible, they're just like all of us. No, they're not. Then why are we treating him like this? Why aren't we treating him like he was Prince, for crying out loud? I mean, look at the freaking hubbub that's going on around here. I can't go anywhere in Utah County like, hey, did you hear? Did you hear? Yeah, I heard. But I was way more upset when Prince died. I mean, if you want to be completely honest, I was way more sad. And David Bowie, don't bring up David Bowie. Anyway, maybe you see what I'm saying?
If somebody says, did you hear, you should just act like they're talking about David Bowie.
Yeah, I'm still in mourning for that
guy. Voice of a generation, man.
I think Tom, it's
I loved his androgynous vibe.
maybe I'm conflating your point with something else, but I think a big part of it is just that everyone's super bored in Utah County in terms of church stuff. This is the first big news in a long time. I mean, why wouldn't they want to talk about it?
First big news in a long time? You haven't been watching the news then.
No, I mean, like, for Mormon-y stuff.
Oh, Mormon stuff.
The policy change was the last big one. And then before that, I don't even remember.
And that wasn't positive either. Yeah.
No. It's like you only get one news cycle for Mormons every couple of years, and it's usually a shit one. So it's like this one at least has a silver lining of, like, the membership can get excited about it. But then they have to be careful because they can't pull a Bob because they're active. They have to, like, oh, I'm so sad. But really, I'm excited.
Well, I firmly disagree with that. I actually think.
Really?
Okay. And I even would be curious of what you, Jake, and Heather think when you guys were talking about when Hinckley died and how spiritual an experience that was. Because I really think, and I'm only going off my own memory, I actually believe that they all, you know, walked and talked with Jesus. I mean, I don't know. That's why if President Monson did walk and talk with Jesus and he passed away, it's like, oh, we just lost someone who walked and talked with Jesus. That's a big deal.
Yeah. Even the Post article was saying that Jesus Christ runs the church with collaboration from these 15 men. I was like, yeah, they're collaborating like on an album together. With guest appearances Jesus. By Jesus.
Yeah. But wait, then, like, remind me what it is in Mormonism that makes it so that you're sad. If he walked and talked with Jesus, he was super old and we're all expecting him to die and he's in a better place and he lives forever and he's exalted. Like, why are we crying? What's sad here?
Because people felt an emotional connection to him. I mean, or,
and why don't they feel it anymore?
Cause he's no longer in the mortal realm.
Getting up every six months and talking to him.
Yeah.
But why is that sad if everything is as it should be to be even better than it was when he was alive?
Because you don't get to hear him during conference and stuff.
You're just saying, why would you be sad? If you're Mormon, why would you be sad when anybody died?
It's not even just that. I think Bob is trying to debunk death and grief.
Yeah, that must be.
You know, for old, perfect Mormon men who are exalted, like, not
perfect.
Not for everyone. There are tragedies and accidents and, you know, car accidents and stuff. But for a 90-year-old man who was the prophet of a church, so kind of a self-fulfilling thing that he's like calling an election, made sure he's just checking into his hotel on the other side and it's in a palace or whatever in the highest degree of the celestial kingdom. What's there to be sad about doctrinally?
doctrinally?
No, I'm just saying you have to remove yourself from Mormonism to be sad about what just happened if you want to actually believe what Mormonism believes.
No, you don't.
Don't you?
No, of course not. I mean, come on. Okay, so I have a friend from Indiana. She was an atheist, didn't really believe in, well, didn't believe in God, obviously. That's the definition of that. But anyway, she met this guy that was like in the Institute, and like they got together and they got married, and she had a couple kids. And like I'm saying, over that period of time, President Monson was like the figurehead of this religious movement, like changed her life and had this really transformative effect for her, and totally put her on this new path that she has this wonderful family that she always wanted to have. And she, based on Facebook posts, she seems very pleased to be Mormon. I mean, don't you think that there are grounds for her to feel a sense of loss that he is now not talking any, that he's not that figurehead anymore?
Yeah, as a human, but not as much as a Mormon is all I'm trying to say.
What? Wait. Okay. So all the non-human Mormons have no justification for being sad all the non-human about Monson's death.
Yeah. Right.
Brilliant.
I guess I mean I'm pushing the point too far, of course, and it sounds ridiculous, but I'm just saying that Mormonism is structured such that if you believe it literally, this is all good news. There's hardly anything to be sad about when a 90-year-old calling an election made sure man passes over to the other side.
Well, there's a certain degree of Mormon funerals that are celebrations, like, hey, you know, they return to the loved ones that are waiting for them on the other side, so let's celebrate. So I think I see what you're saying, Bob, but I don't know. Is that what you're trying to say?
Yeah, I mean, but I guess I'm just saying the conditions are different. I have issues with Mormon funerals for other reasons, because normally when it's I don't want to equate everything equally, because I think the context matters of him being super old and it was his time and we all knew it was coming and there's not a surprise. He lived a good life. And in Mormon culture and doctrine, everything's lined up for this to be exactly as it should be. It's hard for me to, I feel like the sadness comes from a deeper human connection that Mormons have a hard time expressing, because it has nothing to do with Mormonism. It has everything to do with not Mormonism, because Mormonism would take away that sadness because of all the good news associated with what just happened. That's all I'm trying to say. Jason, I lose you. I feel like I lost you.
I just absolutely disagree. People would call that like human connection part of the light of Christ. Like if you have a friend that moves, that gets a great job and moves and gets their dream job and gets to go like live the thing that they, you know, live the life that they've always wanted to, like, does that mean that when they move away, it's against that, just logically knowing that they're going to a good place, there's no justification for feeling sad that they're gone?
No, you can feel sad because of the, you know, President Monson having been your best friend and not coming over for dinner anymore, changes everything in your life now that he's not around to not get up in conference.
No, but you feel, but you say, so what, it's only if you knew them personally that you can feel a sense of loss.
No, I'm saying that's what your analogy is leaning on. I'm saying context matters. I'm talking about a 90-year-old man who we haven't seen or heard from in any substantive way. Like,
I'm sorry, is anyone else buying this?
No.
All right.
I don't know.
That's a great argument. Is anyone else buying this? No. Well, there's more than one of me, so let's talk about something else. Got it. Okay.
Well, maybe it's a gut check of like whether or not you're kind of off in the weeds.
Yeah. I think people with normal human emotions
that are
I just don't see the contradiction. I don't see the contradiction.
It's the same contradiction to me. Like when I was Mormon, I was literal. And so like when I pointed out the discrepancies, people got really uncomfortable in a similar way. Like, why wouldn't you want to kill everyone under the age of 8? You know, there's shit in Mormonism that sets you up for removing your humanity if you take it literally. That's all I'm trying to say.
Okay. Yikes. All right. Yeah.
Nobody actually thinks you can't have sadness and emotion toward the passing of an old man. It's just that if you really believe Mormonism literally, that should be a drop in the bucket compared to all of the joy that you feel if you really live what you believe. That's all.
Okay. In the name of...
Jeez.
I'm just picturing Bob.
Bob's at the grieving scale.
I'm just picturing Bob at the funeral.
I'm going to put a metric on it. It's fine if you're sad that he died.
But you should be happy. It's right. Doctrinally, it's you should be happier.
If you're a believer.
Yeah.
My Thomas Monson story is when my mom graduated from Southern Utah University, he was the speaker, the keynote speaker there, and he was getting some award for his humanitarian efforts. And so I went to the graduation, and this super old guy, older than Thomas Monson, he was almost, I think he was 100 years old, that was his like calling card, that he was 100 years old. Got up and gave this killer 2.5 minute speech that had everybody like roaring, laughing. It was like short and sweet and funny. And as soon as he finished, like the whole stadium burst to its feet in a unanimous standing ovation. It was
oh,
so
wow.
Awesome. He was killer, right? 100-year-old dude. And then Monson got up and gave his usual sing-songy thing about widows and la la, and it went on and on and on. And then after that, it was just like kind of tepid, and then people were like, should we stand, you know? Yeah, so this was kind of spotty.
We'll give him a golf clap. Okay, thank you.
So I remember thinking that when people would be like, the prophets are so old, isn't it amazing that they're actually, you know, getting up and giving speeches and stuff? And I'd be like, I saw a guy who could kick these people's trash.
So did anybody have a handshake story with Monson?
Oh, here it comes. Let's hear it. Where's your
hand? I don't have one. I'm asking. I'm sorry.
Dang it, I thought you had one. I was really excited.
You thought I was setting myself up.
Hey, does anyone have the story that I want to share?
But that sounded like a really cool story.
Is that such a Bob move or something?
Who else had Oaks over for dinner to their house?
Amazing. That's right. I got to wait for him to be prophet before that matters in the same way. Damn it.
Well, so where does it put Oaks on the seniority list? Is he two or three?
That's my question. Number two. He's after Nelson, and he's in his 80s, so he's got a good shot, doesn't he?
He's
going to be head of the Quorum of the Twelve until he's not in profit, unless he dies earlier than a 93-year-old man.
Well, based on Bob's prediction, he could be, you know, the next conference. I mean, Nelson walks up to the next podium and dies. 93-year-old man walks up there and dies. I don't know.
Nelson doesn't excite me either direction in my made-up, you know, spectrum, but Oaks excites me on the assholery direction of like, oh, yes, if he becomes prophet,
well,
you know, get your popcorn, it's going to be fun time.
but if Nelson really was the
presidency,
if right. Nelson was the guy who spearheaded the policy, I don't know, it could be a big shakeup.
That's true, but he doesn't seem to want to. Oaks has a way of just like owning things in such a dick way, but like Nelson. Only sort of admitted like that this coming
from the guy who's got the Oaks impression, right? I can't wait for him to be prophet. I got an impression in my back pocket.
A lifetime of Oaks impressions are waiting for me. This is my big shot in life.
I will take lead on every conference episode. It's gonna be great.
It's happening, guys. My time is almost here. Just another 3 years. I'm surviving. You guys know Nelson very well?
No.
In terms of like, other than that one thing that he...
Is he the heart surgeon guy?
Yeah, he's
the heart surgeon guy.
Yeah. I mean, I feel like he's more than a bland...
He's the heart surgeon who's like, some big bang somewhere.
Like, yeah. Mm. Right, so he shit on the Big Bang, and he did the whole thing of like...
He did?
The Big Bang. Yeah, he was like, if the Big Bang made us, that would be like a... What is it? Printing press exploding and a Bible flying out.
Oh, that came from him?
Like that. Yeah.
Wow. Oh, wow.
A man of science.
So there
science.
Could be some of that.
There's some excitement there.
A man of science, yeah.
That could fuel a couple of infants episodes.
Yeah.
More than anything Monson's ever done.
Might be able to work with this guy.
Yeah. Have we done anything about Monson's episode? Might be able to work with this guy.
I mean, we're barely doing one now.
It's titled Monson, and we're reaching deep into Star Wars.
I'm telling you guys, he wasn't the best prophet. Come on. We're holding it together barely.
He's a Jimmy Carter.
Jimmy Carter.
Hi, this is Karen from the United Arab Emirates. That's in the Middle East. And I am a light set on a hill in the midst of my Muslim brothers and sisters. At least that's what they tell me at church. You can comment on this episode on the website, infantsonthrones.com. And if you really like what you hear, give the Quorum a 5-star rating and write a short review on iTunes. I did. Anyone for the closing prayer?
God be with you, telling me again. May his counsel guide upon you. With his sheets of your leaf on you. I'd be with you till we meet again.
But we got to do the chorus because that's the fun part. Till we meet.
That was something.
Thank you for listening to Infants on Thrones.